From team-focused farm system breakdowns, prospect rankings, and interviews with some of the brightest up-and-comers in the game, Locked On MLB Prospects is the best way to stay plugged in with your favorite team. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of Locked On Phillies. Again, it's Wednesday, July 28th, 2021, dropping a few episodes here today. You already got to listen to the episodes, perhaps, with Alex Carr from The Good Fight. This part two of my conversation with Joe Giglio, who I had a chance to talk to yesterday, actually, right as it seemed like Tyler Anderson was en route to the Phillies. He is, of course, not. He's headed to the Seattle Mariners. So we discussed everything. Still, in terms of the outlook of the season, it's my belief that they certainly need to add to this starting pitching, even more so now that they will not have Anderson coming over from the Pirates. So we discussed that and a whole lot more in this episode. Again, definitely go check out part one, but right now you're going to take a listen to part two.
So you mentioned the playoff drought for the Phillies coming up on a decade, longest in the National League, second longest in baseball. The only team who has missed the playoffs for longer is the Mariners, who's coming up on 20 years here, which is just even like another level of irrelevancy, I guess you could say. What would a playoff appearance mean in the grand scheme of things? Because I kind of toyed back and forth with this. They almost got in the playoffs last year, but it was an expanded playoffs system, shortened year. They probably would have gotten, creamed by the Dodgers in the first round. It didn't feel like a playoff team. And even when they had a billion chances down the stretch of the season, they still couldn't capitalize enough on it. In my estimation here, this would be a much more legitimate playoff appearance, but B, what do you see as the long-term effects? Like, if this team makes the division series and gets, knocked out in three or four games, are we chalking that up as a successful season? Is that something that can build on, or are we looking at back on it years from now and saying, well, they really went for it and all they have to show for it is a first-round knockout?
I think a lot of it probably depends on how hard they try here. Like, if it's Tyler Anderson and a relief pitcher that maybe you and I have heard of, but most fans haven't, and they give up almost no prospect costs and they stay out of the tax, I don't really think they went for it. I just think they just did the bare minimum. So, but again, if they go get Craig Kimbrell or they go over the tax, they give up a significant prospect and that's the ending. Yeah, I mean, it could change our perception. But Dan, I think it's important. I mean, there's this whole group, this whole team they built has never won anything. Like, this group is built on guys that have some names, right? There's some star power here, but they're not winners. Their careers are not hoisting trophies in October. It's not getting to the World Series. I don't think there's a single player in this team that's ever played in the World Series. And not that I think they're going to get there this year, but just, like, starting the process. I remember watching the documentary on the OA Phillies. They talked about how just getting there in 07, even though they got knocked out by Colorado, it meant something. Like, they got a taste of it, and it showed them to themselves, we can do this. And obviously, they caught the Mets that year, and I think that put the seeds of doubt in the Mets' mind. So that Mets team never got over that and got over the hump, even though they had a ton of talent. So I think it's important. And then the other perspective I think about, and not that most fans care about this, I don't really care about their money, but, like, the Phillies, I think they're in some trouble here with selling tickets and generating significant interest, because they got a boon for a couple of years off of, we traded for Bryce Harper, we're back now, the rebuild is over, and people got excited. And now you look up, Dollar Dog Night last night, it's usually like, people love that. And that was only 20-something thousand. It's the middle of July, they're fighting for a playoff spot, people don't believe or care, and I don't think they have the money to spend on another star to, like, get people to buy tickets. So I think from a Middleton perspective, I don't know if he wants to cover the tax, but making the playoffs might be their ticket to getting excitement generated for next year. Like, hey, we made the playoffs, now we take the next step, or whatever silly marketing thing they'll do, and that I think could be important for them.
Does this feel similar to you? I mean, it feels similar to me a lot, what we kind of have recently gone through with the Eagles, besides the fact that somehow every Philadelphia team now, at least in the sports where divisions really matter, in football and baseball, seems like they play in the worst division in the sport. But also, like, you remember at the end of last Eagles season, we were debating, like, is it even worth it to make the playoffs? Like, is that beneficial for this team? Do you feel any of that with this Phillies team, or are we over that and it's just like, yeah, we'll make the playoffs and worry about tomorrow?
Yeah, there's a little bit to it, but I think it's even more important for the Phillies from this perspective. Like, in football, you could just change everything, like the Eagles did, right? Like, the quarterback's gone, the coach is gone, it's a new program. I mean, obviously, there's some players, but you could flip an NFL roster and start fresh like the Eagles are, overnight. It's not hard to do. It happens all the time. Baseball is harder. Like, where are these guys going? Unless they take a sledgehammer to this thing, you know, the Phillies next year are not going to look dramatically different than the Phillies this year in terms of their stars. Bryce and JT and Wheeler and probably Nola and Hoskins probably all are coming back, or at least the majority of those guys are not going anywhere. So, like, what's the upside to not making it? I feel like they're kind of caught where they got to make the most of what they've already done, even if this core is probably not good enough to win a World Series anytime soon.
We're sitting here right now, hard to say at the trade deadline. I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot. It might be a question better answered a week from now. If you had to say, and I know I kind of asked, you know, what your prediction was before the season and how many wins gets this thing done, but right now, if you had to place a bet on it, and I know you've kind of gotten more into the, you know, betting world here with an expanded show and kind of work template here a little bit. If you had to place a bet on it right now, if you were giving betting advice to someone right now at even odds or even slightly favorable odds, Phillies to make the playoffs, would you do it?
Yeah, I think, and last time I, because it was like, you were getting 7-1 at the All-Star break. It's definitely moved closer to like 3-1 or 4-1, maybe 2.5-1. It's changed over the last couple of weeks with DeGrom and Lindor and the IL. I think there's value to taking the Phillies. Their September schedule is, I mean, I don't think you'll find an easier September schedule. They have to win games, but, I mean, 14 of 17 home games against Drek, especially like the Cubs will have sold all their parts off. Like, that team will be awful by the time they roll in here in September. There's value to taking the Phillies. If you're asking me, after watching this team all these years, and especially, you know, doing leading off by a lot, like literally every night, every season for the last 4 years, I've been at WIP watching and listening to the Phillies. If you're asking my gut feeling, Dan, my gut feeling would tell me there's a lot of grinders on the Mets, as much as I don't like that team. They've got some grinders there that I respect. I would guess the Phillies lose this division by a game or two to the Mets. That the Mets find a way to 85 or 86, and the Phillies are at 84 or 85, and they just miss it. But I do think there's some value, because the Phillies have a real chance with the Mets' issues and with that September schedule to win the division.
This episode of Locked On Phillies is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans, and this app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, and athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Locked On Green Room, again, it's the perfect place to start or join a conversation about Major League Baseball. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to other big news or rumors. You'll even find Locked On hosts across the NBA, MLB, and NHL platforms, as well as the NFL, with that coming up in just a couple of weeks here. Again, I'll be joining the app soon, so be sure to get started, and I will meet you there. Go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter account, and join the NFL, MLB, NHL, or NBA group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms of your favorite teams and leagues. I can't wait to join you all in the app. I'll be sure to let you know once the Locked On Phillies room is live. Download the Green Room app today. Green Room, it's changing the way we talk sports.
I unfortunately have begun, you know, feeling the same way, and I've been, you know, recently grabbing a number of guests on the podcast with various perspectives. One, you know, a specifically betting guy who maybe isn't watching this team night in and night out. Like, I'm trying to back my emotions away from it here a little bit. And, you know, I'm not, you know, living and dying. I'm not one of these people who says, well, they lost this game, they're out of it, and they win the next game, I'm totally back in. I try not to be that reactionary, but I almost feel like I've seen too much to believe in this team, and I really hope I'm wrong, because I've been wrong on a number of things with this team. First of all, I didn't think they would be this close, say, even a month ago. B is it's become like a running bit here amongst, you know, my friends and some listeners of the podcast of, I proclaimed Andrew McCutchen washed in April, and man, was I totally wrong about that. Could not be happier, by the way.
You were the only one.
No, I know. He looked awful.
I mean, he looked terrible, and all he's done, and the rest, like, it's not just he hits, like, he's crushing the ball the last 2 months. It's awesome. It's also going to present them with a difficult decision after the season. Like, I don't think it makes much sense to give him much money in years to come back. Like, he's not getting any younger in the outfield, but, I mean, he's their cleanup hitters. They're going to let him walk away after the season. So, that's going to be a tough one for DeBrowski.
Yeah, and I was sitting here a month ago saying, like, they're not going to really make the playoffs. If some playoff team wants to overbid on Andrew McCutchen, like, be my guest and do it. Let's play for the, I'm not calling to tear it down and rebuild, but, you know, play for the year 2022. And it's almost due to circumstance, not so much on what the Phillies have done, but where they are in the division, where it's like, hey, they got to go for it. I don't necessarily love or agree with the way they built this team up, basically just buying talent, trying to fast forward and expedite the process of truly, you know, building up your farm system, drafting well, and all the things we know that for years they have been bad at. But they're sitting here still on the 500 seesaw, and they're right there with the favorable schedule. And I'm almost, it's a very weird, I've never had this feeling before with a team, and I don't know if you share any of the sentiment of like, I'm obviously rooting for the team to make the playoffs, but I've never been so reluctant to like want my team to do well only because I just don't want to get caught in that trap again. Now, in terms of
I agree. And I think that's, you know, a lot of this is going to be on Dombrowski. Like, this is an evaluation year for him. Like, yeah, he's got to figure out who the guys to keep, who the guys to not, the prospects, the core. I don't think he's going to be fooled if they just win 84 games and somehow make the playoffs, that he's got a World Series team. But, you know, I just hope by the end of the year, Dombrowski knows how far they are, how close they are, and knows what they need. Because that's really the most important thing moving forward.
And that's kind of also how I view it. It's not only is Bryce Harper here, not only is JT Realmuto here in their primes, but they also went out and clearly got a guy who goes for it and wins. This is Dave Dombrowski is not the rebuilding guy. So it doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense if you're mathematically in it to take that route. And then also just drawing back to the Eagles comparison, like it is a little bit different. I was on the take, you know, last year that it was actually better for the Phillies long term maybe to miss the playoffs if it cost Matt Klintak his job. Like I didn't want anyone's job getting saved because John Middleton was fooled by making the 8 seed an expanded playoff year. I don't know whether he would have kept his job or not, but if that's what they needed to solidify, like I didn't think that team was going anywhere. Anyway, as you look at this team and the chances they have right now, would you say, true or false, this team will be more heavily impacted or needs the impact more of guys who are not currently on the roster they could go get, or from guys stepping up who are currently on the roster, getting the Aaron Nola we've seen in years past, not what we've seen thus far, or the offense not leaving so many runners on base and having those first 2 weeks of July down the stretch of the season, as you mentioned, could be against a number of AAA lineups because teams have sold off all their talent.
Yeah, I think that it's really like the last couple of years, in a sense. It's got to be the guys here. It's got to be the guys that are in the building. Nola needs to pick it up. I've been disappointed in him, but you look at a lot of his peripheral numbers, his fielding independent pitching, his strikeouts to walks, it's not bad. He's just been bad with guys on base. It's almost like he's like the opposite of so many hitters. When guys get on base against Nola, they come in. I think he could turn it around. I hope he can. I'm a big fan of Aaron Nola. They need him. And then I'll throw one more guy at you. I don't think we've talked a lot, as I'm speaking about the fan base this year. They need more of JT Realmuto. He really hasn't hit much the last month or so. You look at his OPS, it's hovering around 800, and it was significantly higher his first couple of years here. And, like, we've done this thing, and he got paid off it last year, like, the best catcher in baseball. The Phillies Twitter's, you know, it's going crazy with the best catcher in baseball. He's a really good catcher. He made the All-Star team again. He has not been the best catcher in baseball this year. He hasn't been as good as Buster Posey. He hasn't been as good as Salvador Perez. I don't know where I'd rank him, but they need that guy back. Like, you look at their offense, Reese is kind of what he is. You know, Bryce is kind of you know what Bryce Harper is, and he's kind of being himself most of the season. McCutcheon's been red hot. They need Realmuto. Like, if Realmuto could turn on the last 2 months, he would change things. He's gone ice cold, and they need him to be better.
Yeah, I almost feel like we kind of, I don't know if he got a pass from that All-Star appearance, but some catchers who make the All-Star team, it's probably the only position where guys, you know, actually get legitimate nods based upon their defense, and it's not exactly the deepest offensive position, so I feel like you can just be like a fine hitter at catcher and make the All-Star team. There's been examples of it over the years. Then he hit that home run in the All-Star game, and he ended this huge drought, and it was like, that was like the July for JT Realmuto, but you're right, wearing a Phillies uniform actually in games that count for the Phillies in the standings, he has been certainly less than stellar. It was surprising to me when he made the team. And I don't, is it fair to say that kind of bottom, like a month long pass that he shouldn't have gotten? And I agree with you. He's not been the best catcher in baseball this year, even if he was in years past.
Yeah. That might be it. Oh, he made the All-Star team again. And really he made that cause, you know, there was an injury there in the National League. He just needs to be better. And I don't expect him to hit like Mike Piazza used to. Like, I'm not thinking he's going to have a 1,000 OPS, but he needs to have more impact. And I just never feel with JT that he's got, you know, he's going to get this big hit to win the game. Like, at least, like, Bryce Harper has that sometimes where he doesn't get that big hit. He hasn't had a ton of but he walks a lot, right? He gets on base. He walked in front of McCutcheon's home run last night. Reese will hit those home runs and have those hot streaks. McCutcheon's been on fire. It's hard for me to point out a moment where I'm like, man, what a moment by JT. Bases loaded, he came through with a grand slam or base hit, whatever. He needs one of those. He's going to bat two or three or four, whatever, every day that they need him to be better.
In terms of getting more out of other guys, I mean, Bryce Harper obviously has a bit of an X on his back. He's getting booed everywhere he goes, the overrated chancer everywhere. He obviously gets paid, a ton of money. He's the face of the franchise. He's good. But as you said, you know what he is. I mean, do the Phillies, for what they're paying him, need more out of Bryce Harper?
You know when they need more? It's been a weird kind of year for him. They need more from him when the chance is there for it to happen. His numbers this year with runners in scoring position, runners on base, are not great. He has one run batted in since the All-Star break. Now, I can't pretend that his other at-bats, he's not impactful. He is. He'll get his walks. He'll get his home runs. He'll get on base. He does a lot of really good things. It's weird this year with him. When there's a chance to really blow the game open, he doesn't get hits in those spots. This happens with some good hitters. It could be fluky. Next year, he could have a great year and, knock in 120. But there's going to be games down the stretch, especially those games, in September when they have a real chance to overtake the Mets. And he comes up with two guys on and they're down one. I mean, they need a home run. They need a big hit to the gap to drive some runs in. So it's a niche thing. It's not like, every night he gets a chance or two chances. But when he gets his shots, he's got to be better with guys on base.
I wanted to circle back to, this kind of the starting pitching thing, getting more, but maybe how it gets managed a little bit differently. I don't know if this is Girardi. It's probably more so an organizational thing. And I think it's something we're in agreement on, which is that it doesn't make much sense to continue starting Spencer Howard in these games, whether you move him to a bullpen role or just commit already to developing him as a starter down in the minor leagues. Do you see any reason why he should continue to be starting games for the Phillies? And does this finally go away if they, go get Tyler Anderson, maybe even another starter here at this deadline?
Yeah, I don't, at least at a big league level. I'm fine with it in the minors. Because the one thing that I understand from the Phillies' perspective, and is for any team, once you kind of pull the plug, it's very hard to go back. Let's say they make him a reliever. Because, he's already so far behind because of the injuries he's had in the short season last year. He's just never built his arm up. They've tried to make him a starter. He's succeeded at lower levels. But he's never, pitched over 100 and something innings. So, the low 100s, whatever the number is. He's never gone over that. He's never been 120, 30, 40. So if you don't build him up and you go backwards, and you just commit, if you put him in the bullpen, let's say, and then he finishes the year with, 50 innings, it's basically over. The idea of him ever stretching back out and becoming the starter they thought he would be is probably over for his career. It's like you can't go backwards with these things. So I understand why they don't want to give up yet, but if he's going to be here on the big league team, you just can't pitch two or three innings as a starter and, this is okay. It can't work. So he's either got to be in the minors as a starter, or if he's here, they should make him a relief pitcher. And, Dan, the crazy part is, you look at his splits the first time through the order. He's unbelievable.
They're really good, yeah.
Yeah, he could be an impact relief pitcher, and he throws 97. I think if he knew that he was only going an inning or two, let's say two, he could be one of those kind of Josh Hader types, not as good, but he could go multiple innings. If he knew that was his role, I bet he could get it over 100. He could just fire it, he could just empty the tank. So I think he actually might be an impact reliever that they're using as a below-average starter. It's a very Phillies thing to do.
This episode of Locked on Phillies is brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all of the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using rockauto.com. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? rockauto.com is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for more than 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even that new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all of the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in the "How did you hear about us?" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com.
So I'll kind of – I'm actually going to get you out of here on a non-Phillies question or non-Phillies sentiment because you kind of mentioned them a little bit within the Ramuto conversation of how good Buster Posey has been. I think one of the biggest stories in all of baseball this year that I think has somehow even managed to be under-talked about, although it's been mentioned a number of times here in Philadelphia, and you have in a number of ways kind of led the charge on the Gabe Kapler success post-Philadelphia. I was never a believer that that was the reason – the Phillies were being held back. I think it's being proven that they were a 500 team with him. They're now a 500 team without him. But how much credit can we truly give Gabe Kapler for what the Giants are doing? Clearly he can manage. Clearly they have a good front office out there in San Francisco. But are you like just in total awe at the way that I am, just the production at times or even over the course of an entire season they're getting from guys like a Buster Posey, like a Brandon Belt, an Evan Longoria, Brandon Crawford even, like guys who I didn't think we would hear from again, definitely not in the case of Buster Posey. Evan Longoria was, you know, like I was 10, 11 years old when the Phillies won the World Series. Like I didn't think that guy would come back and have any type of production. And Posey, like totally resurging his career. Like how much of this is just totally it all coming together at once and a little bit of luck? How much is it the Giants front office? How much of it is that Gabe Kapler just grew as a manager here and is now just in a much better fit in San Francisco?
Yeah, I think it's a little everything. I mean, I think the biggest part, let's be fair, is I think Farhan Zaidi, the GM out there that hired Gabe, and they worked together with the Dodgers. I think within a year, if people are going to start saying, like, he's the best GM in baseball, or one of the two or three, like, we're going to hear his name, like, we hear Andrew Friedman's name. I know Brian Cash from the Yankees having a tough year, but High and Blue, like, his name belongs to those guys. Some of the moves they've made and the guys they've found, I mean, like, Darren Ruff is going to hit.
I forgot Ruff. Unbelievable.
Darren Ruff has a 950 OPS. Like, it's. And Gabe used him against lefties, right? They platoon him, they put him in good spots, but it's crazy. Like, they get production out of everyone. So I think, you know, Farhan is the biggest reason. But I do think Gabe is a big part of it. I always thought he was a smart in-game manager, and I didn't always work with the Phillies, but, like, the ideas of, you know, pinch hitting and what he wanted to do with his bull. But I always thought he had the right idea. It just, you know, not always worked here. I think he grew a lot. You know, I follow that team and I read some of the stuff, and I think he grew in terms of kind of, you know, I think with the Phillies, he was more about, this is the way I think things need to be done. We're going to do it. Maybe not always thinking about the player and the human element, like the time he pitched for Kingery, like in the second inning of a game, which McKingery stinks, but like that's kind of a show of lack of confidence in a young player. He doesn't do that as much. He picks his spots for his super aggressive stuff, so I think he's grown. But the thing that you said there about the old guys, what I find the most interesting, and I think it's a bad referendum on the Phillies players more than anything else. So when he got out there to San Francisco, it was the same kind of thing he tried here. Like the hitting philosophy, basically they wanted to, like, if you have a pitch you can't drive, even if it might be a strike, just a little bit off the corner, don't swing. It's not worth it. You're going to ground out to the shortstop or second base. And the Phillies tried to do that here. It's obviously some of these hitters, it didn't work with a lot of them. And what I found interesting was Posey, Crawford, Longoria, like these guys were stars. They won champions. They won multiple championships. And when they got out, when Gabe and his staff got out there and they tried to like implement a new system and change things and all that, those guys were like, yeah, I'm ready. Show me. They're like, I can't wait to learn this new way. And I never felt the Phillies players here, like, you know, remember when Bryce Harper kind of laughed at the curveball machine? I always felt like the Phillies players here didn't fully embrace what Gabe and his the Eflin thing, right? Like, Eflin was always complaining about, I can't throw my sinker, even though Zach Eflin's had a 4-1 ERA, regardless of what pitching coach he's ever had. Like, it always felt like the Phillies players here didn't really have a growth mindset. They didn't really want to do it the way the coaching staff tried to get them to do it. I felt there was some friction. In San Francisco, those guys, even though they won championships, they were like, all right, show me the new way. I'm in. And they bought fully in. So maybe that's Gabe kind of persuading them. Maybe they just had a more of a growth mindset and the Phillies players didn't. I don't know, but, man, it's crazy. Like, they might win the NL West, and they were projected to win 75 games.
It's incredible, and I actually think back, so I had Kevin Franson on the podcast, I think during spring training, like just before the season, and, you know, he played in the era where, you know, analytics and this kind of idea, you know, they were present in the game, but not present maybe to the extent that they were now, and, you know, he didn't go into the specifics of, like, what teams were good at presenting it, what teams were bad at presenting it, but he basically talked about how certain guys, like you just mentioned, were stuck in their ways, and a number of guys were not, but a lot of it had to do with the delivery of the team. Not like, here's what you should do, just do it. Like, here's why it will actually help you, and kind of explaining. And I think back to the scene in the movie Moneyball where Billy Bean and Jonah Hill's character are explaining to the players like why it's better. And those guys were a bunch of guys who wouldn't have had careers otherwise on the offensive side. And so they buy in, but it's totally nuts. You're right that guys like Crawford, you know, Belt, Longoria, Posey, who are established major league players, have won championships, would come back and buy into that. Maybe it speaks to how good the Giants were at presenting that information. Maybe it just speaks to those guys are more open-minded into what the Phillies had. But you're right, it's totally backwards. The Phillies sitting here with a team of guys who have not won, those guys have, and yet the guys who have won are the more open-minded ones.
Yeah, I mean, look, as much as I thought Gabe would do well out there with Farhan, because I just thought he would get him better players and it would work. But if you had told me 2 years ago that the Giants, you know, are a legitimate chance to win a World Series in 2020 and the Phillies are 500, like, no one in this city would have believed that. And yet here we are.
And it's kind of, like, I don't want to say it's the same model that the Phillies have had, but in terms of, like, going for it with the old guys, not doing the traditional, like, tear it down, build it back up thing. Like, that's kind of the timeline they're on. Like, they didn't build this thing. This isn't the same Giants dynasty we saw at the early of, like, the 2010s. Like, these guys are old, and they're just, like, trying to max out on what they have left, and they're doing it much better than the Phillies are.
Yeah, and the funny part is, like, history repeats itself with some of these things. I'm not saying he's going to turn out to be as great as this guy, but, like, it's impossible not to think of the parallels that, you know, 2 decades ago, Terry Francona failed here. You know, he was young. He got fired, and he found Theo Epstein. And then the two of them won championships together. And now Gabe didn't work here, and he went out and he found Farhan Zaidi. And it's like, is this going to happen again? Are the Phillies going to watch him win a World Series? Meanwhile, you know, they're kind of stuck in the middle. It's crazy. It might happen again.
The reaction in Philadelphia or on WIP or wherever the night a Gabe Kapler led Giants team won the World Series would be what?
Oh my goodness. I don't know, but I'm excited to be on. That's what I know. I don't know what it would be, but I'm excited to see how people react. Even if I'm not supposed to be on that night, I'll just show up.
You'll specifically request just turn the mic on and let it rip, because that would
be... Yeah, I got to work again tonight. I'm on.
Yeah. Joe Giglio, thank you so much for your time. Always fun talking Phillies. Interesting to see what they do here at this trade deadline and down the stretch of the season. They have my interest, which, you know, I'm almost like reluctant. I mean, I'm watching every night anyway, but they have my emotional interest, I guess, is really the way of putting it. And it's not a point I thought we would be at here on July 27th on the 100th game of the season, based upon where we were, again, just a couple of short weeks ago. But that's where we are.
Yes, they've got us, maybe not for the right reasons, but we're intrigued. We're watching, which I guess that's all that matters.
Special thank you to Joe Giglio for hopping on the phone and taking some time out of his day to talk all things Phillies. I think it was a lot of good stuff in there, especially as it pertains to, you know, can the Phillies actually make the playoffs? How close will they get? How the schedule bodes well for them, how it does not bode well for the Mets, and how there's no one really running away with this National League East, and really what a playoff berth would mean. This is kind of just how I think about stuff, not just in terms of the year 2021, but in a broad scope. What would a playoff berth in the year 2021 mean for the Phillies, and how likely is it? I think we're headed in a direction where they're going to be very close. I kind of unfortunately agree with him. I think they probably will fall just a bit short, but I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm really rooting to be wrong in this case. Maybe I'm being too negative. I hope that there's tons of bad takes down the stretch of this season where I, you know, there's a well-documented history of me saying they won't make the playoffs. I certainly hope they do, and I certainly hope that spirals into, you know, better baseball in years to come. Again, similar, as he mentioned, to maybe the 2007 to 2008 Phillies. Again, special thank you to Joe Giglio for coming on, and hopefully you enjoy the episode. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow Locked On Bets, the podcast page, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts.